Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. Finally, the rain came, and boy, did it come. Good morning to everyone. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Yes, we definitely participated in a lot of that rain, but not as much as South Florida, though.
Did you hear this? So we had a weather person, a local weather person, just talk about how crazy the rainfall was in South Florida. And so 4 trillion gallons of rain have fallen on Florida, over Florida, this week alone. Mm. 4 trillion gallons. That's equal to 4 Lake Okeechobees dumped over the state. So Lake Okeechobee has 1 trillion gallons of water in it. Oh. And we've had 4 trillion gallons of rainfall. And next week, it's just going to be every day next week.
Where is Zephyr Hills whenever you need them?
Exactly. And so we do need it. And it was like a little mini tropical storm, you know, dumping all that water. And
it was.
And this is what we need to replenish the aquifer, but not so much in that amount of time. And so the rain is going to come again this week. Please turn your irrigation systems off. We are, you know, that's where we get the disease issues, is that we have the rainfall coming, which we can't prevent and we need. But then people continue to irrigate on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your irrigation system is coming on after last week's rain, then you need to change your or fix or replace or put in that state mandated rain sensor shutoff device. If you have an automatic irrigation system, it must have a rain sensor on it that shuts it down when we've had enough rain.
I meant to test mine this week too, but I was just
see if
busy.
It comes on, and if it does, you know, and they're only about $35-$40, but that's going to save you hundreds of dollars in water bills, if not thousands, and it's also going to keep your yard healthy. So it's very important. So it is a state mandated law since 1981. And I've had people tell me, well, my landscaper tells me that it doesn't work. It's a piece of equipment. You got to make sure, you know, you got to check it and replace things on it and make sure it works at least, you know, every 3 months. Just turn it on and make sure that cork hasn't dried out or that something's not broken, or, you know, and technically or technology just wears out.
Yeah, and also a reminder, because I didn't realize this until Teresa told me, that just because it's raining doesn't mean that it's automatically going to shut off your sprinkler system till that little measuring thing fills up.
Right. So you may not have gotten enough rain. And so that's a good thing, is that the rain sensor will go on. But most of the time it's because the rain sensors are shut off. They shut them off. And or it's just not working. And again, you can go down to your box store, go down to your hardware store and get a rain shutoff device and put it on in an unobstructed part of your roof. Okay, so don't put it underneath the eave and don't put it underneath the oak tree. And so just make sure it's unobstructed. And I will tell you, I've got pictures with my landscape malpractice coming out next month where the rain sensor is directly underneath the magnolia tree.
Well, that's where it goes, right? It sounds like people need to get themselves a new landscaper. If your landscaper is saying, oh, it just doesn't work and doesn't offer you an option,
yeah,
find somebody new.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this is a way for landscapers to, you know, make some money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not expensive, but they will save you hundreds of dollars. So North Florida, the rain continues. You have 50% chance every day this week. Central Florida, we do need the rain still. We have 50-70 chance every day. So make sure your irrigation systems are turned off. South Florida, God bless you guys. You know, 40-50% chance of rain each day. And I know you don't need it now, but it will eventually get into the aquifer, and that's what we need to do. So the Gulf of Mexico is extremely warm, and it's going to be a stormy summer. So this is just, you know, the start of our storm season. So we want to make sure that if you're areas flooding, that you know exactly where, what to do, who to call. Make sure you have your preparations ready just in case we get a storm. Key West, you have a 30-40% chance every day. We can't complain. It's feast or famine for rain this year. This Thursday, January 20th, is the summer solstice. In our second hour, I will be talking about the summer solstice and how it affects your gardening. And so, Lizzie, what would you say is the smartest vegetable? The smartest vegetable.
Vegetable? I would probably say, well, no, they say tomatoes aren't. They say tomatoes are actually a fruit. But, I mean, not knowing that, I would probably say a tomato because of how they grow.
Okay.
They vine up and they just spread out and do their own thing.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out. I recently came across an article from the No Nonsense, No Frills Potato News today. And it had a very interesting article in it. I wanted to know if it was true. So I sent it to a dear friend of Better Lawns and Gardens, our friend Dr. Gary Bachman. And are potatoes smart? And what did you just tell me? It was just so funny. What did you say? Or I said, Lizzie, do you think potatoes are smart? And you go, well, they have eyes.
Yes, they have eyes, so they must be.
So when you look at what all potatoes give us, Tony and I were laughing at this last night. Everything potatoes do for us, right? They have French fries. We have potato chips. We have vodka.
Oh.
It just makes all the other vegetables look like they're not trying, right? we should get more from vegetables, you know. So potatoes are really, you know, wonderful. But can they communicate? Coming up next, Gary will be with us to discuss new studies that prove how smart potatoes really are. But Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I just want to let everyone know that Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland is going to have a great lecture on orchids today, and that's going to be with the president of the Orchid Society, and so that's Keith Erwig. So you'll get a chance to meet Keith and learn all about orchids. So 9:30 this morning at Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland off of State Road 540. So last month, I read an article about potatoes and how intelligent they were. And I had to run it by my dear friend, Gary Bachman, Dr. Gary Bachman. And so he joins us this morning. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I think we are going to have fun this morning talking about how smart potatoes are.
So, I you know, well, they do get smashed up, but we're going to have a little bit of a tater talk. And so, I admit that it just doesn't sound plausible, but I wanted to bring you on just to have some perspective on plant intelligence. What do scientists mean when they say plant intelligence?
Well, you know, let me just preface this. We're going to use potatoes as kind of the metaphor for plants today because, you know, we've got to talk about all plants. But one of the things I've always said when I'm speaking to groups about things in our garden, plants that we're growing, that plants are smart, but are they intelligent like, you know, intelligent like us? That's the big question.
And so what kind, when they do these studies, how do they determine, you know, if potatoes are smart? I mean, what do they actually do to the plant?
Well, I'm going to talk about plants in general. Plants, when we think about it, they're mobile. So what they're doing is responding to environmental cues because they, you know, if it gets too hot, they can't get up and move into the shade like we can. So what they're doing is over time adapting to those environmental cues, you know, primarily like day length is a big one in my opinion. That's how a lot of our plants respond and get smart. If you want to use that.
Sure. Sure, because, I mean, they have more sunlight, and the photoperiodism, you know, just helps them grow more.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, this isn't a potato reference. This is a red maple reference.
Okay.
But every year, I watch the red maples in my neighborhood down here. For your listeners, I'm on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, Zone 9A. But there are certain red maples that start flowering between January 28th and February 10th every year. And you can count on it. You can put it on a calendar. And it's really not a temperature thing. It's a day length thing. As our days are starting to get longer, you know, after the winter solstice there in
December.
What month? That's December. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So how can the agricultural industry use this revelation on plant intelligence and response to the environment? How can they use it to their benefit? What good are these studies?
Well, the studies are good because we're looking at plants that respond to those environmental cues. And the first one that I've got on my list here, you know, think of soybeans. Now, the average gardener isn't growing soybeans, but big agriculture is. And the soybean varieties differ as you move north, and the day length changes in the summer. As you move north, the day length gets longer. And soybeans are very day length dependent. And they've been selected to kind of follow the length of the day as you go farther north. Soybeans that we grow in the Delta in Mississippi are vastly different than the soybeans that we grow or that are grown, say, in Illinois and Iowa. And now from a horticulture standpoint, think of there's two big crops that we look at day length, and they're big players in the hort market, but poinsettias and mums.
Mm-hmm.
Both are day length dependent as they're flowering. And we can manipulate those day lengths for the poinsettias and the mums. So we can have flowering mums all year long. We could have poinsettias all year long, too, but there really isn't a market for that
right
yet.
Okay, so so do we get a larger harvest from, extended sunlight hours?
Well, by selecting the plants that grow best in those that day length that they're adapted to, we'll get optimal harvest. Out of those, not necessarily bigger harvests.
Okay, I can get that. Yeah, that's good. So, but how do plants communicate? Because that's a big theme right now, trend, that plants communicate.
Absolutely, and reading the potato article, that was actually a fun read, and it almost makes you think that the potatoes are actually having a conversation out in the field, you know, with what's going on. In my experience, it's really not that kind of, you know, relationship. But it's more environment. And here's an example for you, Teresa. Have you ever seen, you know, like a group of plants? But they're all close together, and they're all kind of stretching out versus one of those plants is sitting off by itself.
Yeah.
And that's something that we see in greenhouses, and that's a shading effect. And it's all about, I'm going to get all sciencey here, a red, far red light ratio that the plants can perceive. And as the sunlight comes in with red and far red light, the leaves intercept the red light that's being used in photosynthesis, but the far red light passes through the leaf and the plants can sense that change in the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes the stem cells to elongate to make the plants try to grow taller to outcompete their neighbors.
Oh.
So, you know, they're not having a fun conversation there because they're all competing for that light, but that's an example of plants communicating, you know, per se, in response to the environment. We see that a lot. We see that in cornfields. The corn plants on the outside of the rows are all shorter than the corn plants that are farther in because the ones farther in are being shaded. The ones on the edges are getting all the good light.
Wow. So now in this article, they talked about memory, a plant's ability right. to have memory. And so does it become part of the plant's DNA? Does it encourage evolution? What happens? How do they know they have memory, Gary?
Well, think about how we select plants, and humans play a big part that genetic memory of plants. I mean, if we look at plants left on their own to their own devices in response to their environment, it takes a fairly long time for genetic changes to take hold and become dominant. But we as humans, we're seeing plants that are different, plants that are more drought tolerant, plants that are more temperature tolerant, and we're selecting those, and then we're continuing to breed those and continue that line of genetics. Does the DNA change? No, but the gene activation changes in response to certain environmental cues, and that's what we're selecting for, and that's what we're helping the plants remember what they're supposed to do when it's droughty, when it's hot, or or when it's cloudy. That kind of response.
Oh, okay, so that's really cool. So if the plant memory attaches to that right. environment, but we take them home and plant them in our yards, how do the next generation or the growers, how are they getting those plants to replicate themselves where they have that memory?
Well, that's not from a homeowner's standpoint, that's tough. But from the grower's standpoint, propagating those plants that have that trait that they want to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a woody plant, they're selecting, doing vegetative, propagation.
Right,
they're taking
right.
cuttings, which is cloning, which is the same thing.
Right.
The seed aspect, we're selecting plants, and if they're hybrids, we're selecting certain breeding lines to get to that end point. If we're looking at more heirloom type of plant, we're selecting those seeds, we're saving those seeds year after year after year, and we're fine-tuning and keeping that genetic or that phenotype, not necessarily the genetics, but the phenotype to what we want it to be.
Oh, that's a good word too.
That's my opinion of what's going on here.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I have so much to discuss with you. Can you stay through the break and we can continue the conversation?
Absolutely. I'm going to refill my cup then, and then we'll be all set to go.
Oh, there you go. That's good. So we have so much more to discuss. But speaking of intelligence, you've started a unique and smart uh-huh. venture called, having with your rare seeds. So we'll be back. And if you can stay, Gary's going to get another cup of coffee. I've got my hot cup of tea here. Lizzie, what are you drinking?
Absolutely nothing. I can't believe the two of you are leaving me out of this. Yeah, Gary.
Well, listen, I'll make a couple shots of espresso, and I'll enjoy them, and you can enjoy it vicariously. How about that?
I'll take that.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Dr. Gary Bachman and his seeds. He's got a really great product out there, and so we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom of the next segment. We'll start mm-hmm. taking your phone calls, and you can text us 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680.
Yes, get your text in now while we're going to go to break, and then that way we can ask Gary your questions.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by this, and so and Gary is the best, and his seeds are amazing. They all came up for us, and we had wonderful peppers, Aleppo peppers. They were just delicious. So we're going to be back with more good news from Dr. Gary Bachman, Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I am having a smashing tater talk with Dr. Gary Bachman. And, you know, and we were talking about the sophistication of potatoes and their intelligence that was once attributed to animals, they're now seeing in plants. And so, Gary, I'm going to post this article so everyone else can read it. And I really did enjoy it. And it's kind of interesting to fascinating that plants are intelligent. And so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to agree with you that it's a great article. It's a fun read, no doubt.
Wonderful. And so I'm also fascinated by you and your ability to have seeds. And in the rare tomato and peppers, you have wonderful, wonderful news at Heritage Cottage. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, Teresa. Several years ago, and actually more than several years ago, we were farmer growers for 5 years, 52 weeks out of the year. And I just became fascinated by the availability and the variety of tomatoes and peppers in particular. And I've been interested in old genetics and looking at unusual varieties that some of the seed companies don't have. You're not going to find them in the garden centers. So when I retired, I posted I asked Kate a question if she minded if I started growing vegetables to harvest seeds and have a seed store. And she was like, well, okay, it keeps you outside and keeps you out of my hair. So that was a
She is so good to you. She is so good.
Yes, she is. And so this spring, I decided I was going to start Heritage Cottage Seeds as a kind of a curated collection or a boutique collection of unusual peppers, tomatoes, and other veggies that I grow in the yard here in the Deep South in Zone 9A, which, you know, like you guys in Florida, can be very challenging.
Yes.
Finding varieties that do well in our environment. And so that's kind of where I started. I have just a few peppers up this year, a few tomatoes, but next year we've done well enough that now Kate said yes, you can do it again, Gary. And so we're going to do more. And so this week I've been, you know, harvesting tomatoes and, you know, collecting the seeds and getting those ready. Same thing, peppers. And so, yeah, it's a fun ride, let me just tell you.
And so these are available for sale. So what kind of varieties do you have that are unusual that you can't find in the regular box stores or nurseries?
Sure. This year, right now, I had two tomatoes. One is Heritage Cottage Orange. And a quick story. When I was in Illinois, an old gardener came into my office and asked me if I wanted some of these orange tomatoes that their family had been saving for years. This is 2005. And it's like, that's a classic, you know, tale of an heirloom right there. And so I've been growing this orange tomato since 2005. And when I started the seed store, I thought, well, heck, I need to name that. I've been growing it for 18 years. I think it was unnamed. I think I can name it. So it's Heritage Cottage Orange. Sold out immediately.
Oh, my goodness.
One of your listeners, when I was last on talking to you, got the last pack of seeds I had of that orange for this year. I'm going to have more next year. But that's a fun one. We've got you mentioned Aleppo peppers, Calabrian peppers. If your listeners are fans of the Food Network, those are popular peppers that you just can't find them. It took me 3 years to find those seeds. I've got dwarf Tabasco. Is the plants only get 2 foot tall versus a 5 or 6 foot tall?
Oh, wow, that's a great patio plant there. Yeah,
and absolutely it is. Yeah, Tom Thumb lettuce is just a little single head of lettuce that grows really well for us here in the South. Red and yellow bird beak, the Pequeno peppers from Brazil. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that kind of product. Of seeds that I want to provide, and it's also they all have stories that go along with them.
That's wonderful,
and I think that's from a gardener's point of view. We like to grow the story too.
That is true. So how much are the seeds?
The seeds right now, they're $3 a package. They give a generous helping. Yeah, I'm not going to compete with burpees. That's not my goal. My goal is to have some fun and share some of the great and unusual veggies that I like to grow that I think other folks would like to grow too.
And that's the whole point of sharing and the value of gardening. I think that's wonderful to keep those stories alive.
Absolutely.
And so rare seeds are, they're in demand when you have a variety that you can't find anywhere else, and they go quickly. So how can our listeners be like the ones that you were on last time and they ordered them? How can they order your seeds now for fall?
The easy way to do it is to go to my website, www.gary-grows.com. I have a link to the seed store. Also, I was just going to say, also at the seed store, I have coffee mugs, which you and Lizzie both have.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what I'm using this morning. I've got Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Hats now.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And I have my book, Southern Gardening All Year Long. You can get that there. But, yeah, my website, gary-grows.com, is the easiest place to go do it. I'll also put a link up on my Facebook page, Gary Grows at Heritage Cottage. That's a great way to get in touch with me. And we can talk gardens. We can ask questions.
That'll be great. And I will also post it on Better Lawns and Gardens when I upload the show. That'll be great. Now, so the weather, we've been having a trillion gallons of water falling in Florida. What's the weather like in Mississippi right now?
Well, it's hot here. We haven't been getting 4 trillion gallons of water. I saw that data yesterday. I went, oh my gosh. But we had a air quality alert yesterday. I think the first one that we've had here in 15 years. And I was thinking, what in the heck is going on with that? I just stayed in all yesterday afternoon and did some work around the house.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to try to go out and breathe that bad air for whatever reason. The air was so bad.
Wow. Well, give Katie a big hug from Tony and I and Lizzie and Sydney, and we'll talk to you more later on, and we hope everyone comes and tries your seeds. So thank you so much, Gary. You have a great weekend.
Well, listen, thank you very much. Tell Tony happy Father's Day.
I will. Happy Father's Day, Gary, to you too as well. And we'll be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to send us a text message, a perfect text message is one with your name and your location. Like Jay from Melbourne, we're going to get to your question in just a bit. And we would love to do your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967. And again, you can text 23680. What can you be planting right now? Well, we are coming up on the first day of summertime, so you got to have plants and vegetables and herbs that can handle the full heat and including a little bit of the rain. And so you can be planting amaranth vegetables, boniatos, calabasas, chayotes, cherry tomatoes. They take the heat of the summertime and they still pollinate, unlike regular tomatoes. The time to be planting regular tomatoes is, you know, gone. This is a time to buy your seeds for the fall. All right. And so Dasheen and the Everglades tomato, Yakamas and lima beans, Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassavas, sweet potatoes, and yard long beans. Herbs to be planting right now are anise and basil and bay laurel, cardamom, chives, and culantro. Not cilantro. Cilantro likes a little bit of cooler weather. Cumin, ginger, lemon balm, and lemongrass. Marjoram, mint, oregano, rosemary, sage, turmeric, and thyme. They do well, too, as well, especially when we're getting the rainy season. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we will be posting all of Gary's links on Better Lawns and Gardens on our Facebook page, so you'll want to check that out later. Let's go to Linda in Zone 8B. That's up further up north. She said, my nephew and a neighbor were just discussing watering their potted vegetables as well as vegetables raised in garden beds, outdoor garden beds. So, which late in the evening rather than early morning because of the heat of the summer. Are they right in doing so? No, you want to water in the early morning hours, Linda, only because you want your plants to dry off as quickly as possible and also give them the water they need to stay hydrated during the heat of the summer. And so watering in the mornings, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning is great. By 9, 10 o'clock, they're dried off. They're going to be less susceptible to diseases. Diseases happen when they stay wet for longer than 5 hours. And so when you're watering after 4 o'clock, that's not a good thing. Okay, and so you want to water in the early morning hours, and that way they can dry off. So water is better. They're hydrated for the heat of the day, and they relax at night, and they don't get as many disease issues with the humidity and all of the trifecta of diseases here in the state of Florida. So good question. Water in the early morning hours. Now, we can't help like the rainfall we're getting now. Our plants, our landscapes, and turf, they're going to be wet during the nighttime hours. So we will probably see disease issues coming from this. So if we get a dry spell and your plants and your lawn do get fungal diseases, mm-hmm. then go ahead and use a fungicide sometime in the next 2 weeks. Go ahead and put it down. And then that way we cannot cure fungus issues, but we can prevent them. And you prevent them by using a fungicide. Follow the label.
Oh, yeah. I went through and noticed that my tomatoes have a few spots on the stem and then and they're still producing tomatoes.
Right.
And the leaves. And I was like, no. So I got neem oil. Is that something good?
Yeah.
Because I sprayed it. I was reading the directions. So, yeah.
Good for you. Mm. That's good. Okay. So Jay from Melbourne, he said, I installed 2 3-gallon golden dewdrops trees a month ago. They appear to be happy, but only have one small center stake. What should I do to keep them upright if we get a visit from a named storm? How many years until they'll be ready to stand without preparation? Well, unfortunately, Jay, I don't think they're ever going to be able to withstand a storm or go without a stake. Okay, because the Durantas are a ornamental shrub. They do get tall. They can get to be 8 to 10 feet tall, but they've got to really have a thick caliper trunk, a stem coming up. And with that stem, I don't know if you're ever going to get it big enough that a storm coming through wouldn't knock it over. And so, because they're like hibiscus, and anything that's made into a tree that's an ornamental shrub, the stem, you keep cutting the top of it and you keep trimming the bottom of it. I don't know if it's ever going to get really thick enough to do that with. So keep it staked and just enjoy it. I would put the stake in the back where you couldn't see it, kind of, that they are standing on their own, but they're always going to need support to be a stake because they're also going to be top heavy. And that top heaviness of the shrub is going to need support too as well. Great question. So let's see. Have there somebody texted in? I hope that plant intelligence talked. Oh, that must be Gary.
Yeah, it's Gary.
Gary, it was great. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And if you want to go see, check out Gary's store, and he's got all those seeds available there, and you'll like that. And I'll be posting that. I got a email from Jeff in Ocala, and he says he has honeybees in the back of his house. And he says, do you know anyone in Orlando or Ocala that'd be able to help with them? And so I emailed Jeff back, and there's a great company called Florida Bee Removal in Orlando. But they also have several offices throughout the state, Florida Bee Removal, and they'll be able to help you, Jeff. So that's a great question. Janice in Orlando, she sent me a picture of her turf, and it was a great picture. And she said, does this look like brown patch to you? It developed very quickly and is spreading just as fast. And she said, I appreciate your guidance. And this is Janice in Orlando. Well, good photographs. Thank you so much. That really helps me. It's not brown patch, because brown patch is a cool season fungal disease. It's been too dry and too hot, and your brown patches are not circular. Okay, so it could just be dry patches where your irrigation isn't spraying correctly, or most likely it is chinch bug damage. Chinch bugs are usually prevalent in drought situations, Janice, and especially in warm weather, it just exacerbates it. So I would say, yes, you probably have or did have chinch bug problems. So if you have a pest control company, have them check it out. And if you don't, you then should check to see if you have the chinch bugs yourself. Because I don't want you to spray anything if the chinch bugs are no longer there. So many times we see the damage and there's, you know, we go, oh my goodness, we have to put something down. But the damage could be done and the bugs are gone. So putting the insecticide down doesn't really help. And that costs money and it's not necessary.
Right.
So here's how you check for chinch bugs, Janice. You want to use a flotation method, which means get a coffee can, one of those 1 pound coffee cans, and insert, cut out both ends, use the coffee up first. And you want to then put the can into the soil outside of the area that is damaged, okay, that discolored grass. You want to put it down, and you may even have to use a knife or a shovel to dig the edges of the can down about 3 inches in the soil. Fill the can up with water continuously for 5 minutes. The chinch bugs that are trapped in that ground will float to the top of the surface, okay? And so those chinch bugs will float. Count them, and you know, if you have one or two around this whole area, because you're going to do this all the way around, maybe 4 or 5 times all the way around this area. If you count only one or two, say 3 in that whole area, 4 or 5 times that you put the can in the ground outside this damaged area, then your chinch bug problem is basically over and they're kind of leaving or they're not there anymore, okay? If you count 10, 20, 30, 40, then the chinch bugs are still there and it's time to treat it, okay? So then you want to use a chinch bug control, you know, pesticide. You can use Sunnyland has a chinch bug control product. Spectracide has triazicide, which controls chinch bugs. Bonide has a chinch bug killer product. Bear Advanced has chinch bug, you know, problems. And then also Ortho has a chinch bug killer product. So just go to the stores, the nurseries, the box stores, read the label, find the product that has chinch bugs labeled on it, and you can use that, follow the label. But check first to see if you have the bug. Now, if you have a landscape company and you think you have a bug, ask them to show you the bug. I just really, you know, I just have trust issues, you know. So if the pest company comes into you and says you have a chinch bug problem, say, show me the chinch bugs and before you get the treatment. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to thank Dr. Gary Bachman for coming on. We had a great conversation about potatoes. It was a lot of fun. You're going to want to hear it in our podcast section. We're going to be back. Randy Schultz is with us on Father's Day. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.